Today marks the 30th anniversary of a particular baseball game, one between the Kansas City Royals and the New York Yankees that made history. July 24th, 1983, the top of the ninth, the Royals trailing 4-3 and down to their last out. George Brett came to bat. Brett hit a two-run homer that gave the Royals a lead in the game, but those runs were taken off the scoreboard when an umpire ruled that George Brett had too much pine tar, the substance used to get a better grip on the bat. Well, we're joined now by Merritt Riley, who was a bat boy on the night of that infamous game. In fact, Merritt Riley was the guy who was tasked with collecting the Royals' bats and bringing them back to the dugout. But that didn't happen as it should have that night. Today, Merritt Riley is a New York City police officer, and he joins us on the line right now. Mr. Riley, welcome. We've set the scene. What happened?
What happened? Well, remember it like it was yesterday. Everybody has seen the home run being hit, and like I had mentioned in the article in the Wall Street Journal, George Brett was always a real friendly, outgoing type guy, and always took to me when he came into New York. Actually, he had a nickname for me, called me Spalding, the movie Caddyshack. And he hit the home run, and the Yankees had a strict set of rules that you were to run up to the plate, retrieve the bat, and get it right back to the dugout. They didn't want you waiting up the plate for any players rounding the bases to high-five them or shake their hand. Well, because George was the type of guy he was, I decided, I take my chances a little bit and stood up there with the bat. And while I was standing there, Billy Martin was screaming from the Yankee dugout to Rick Cerrone, who was a catcher for the Yankees, to check the bat. He said it multiple times. Cerrone, being the arrogant guy he was, grabbed the bat out of my hand and, looked at it, checked it for cork. He thought they were looking at it for cork and saw that there was no evidence of cork and just threw it down at home plate in front of my feet. I then picked the bat up, and by that time, Billy Martin had made his way out of the dugout and was screaming at the home plate umpire, Tim McClellan, that they wanted the bat check for pine tar. So I'm sure everybody has seen the videos of the umpire putting the bat down over home plate to measure the amount of pine tar in relation to the width of home plate. At that point, I realized that something big was happening, and maybe I better try to fade away from the spotlight from what was going on. So I started walking backwards towards the Kansas City dugout. And at some point right thereafter, George Brett was pacing up and down the dugout. And he said to nobody in particular, he said, if they call me out here, you're going to see four dead umpires. And almost right after that, the home plate umpire singled him out. Oh, I'm sorry, threw him out like he was out. And the home run didn't count. And that's when all hell broke loose.
Well,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're getting to the good moment here, I think.
Okay. No, as far as what happened, I could, go on.
Well, we've all seen George running out there, and we that moment is frozen in time. You were a kid who was suddenly right there, front and center. Your world must have kind of crumbled, too.
Oh, God. Crumbled. It crashed. Being a young kid, I realized that I had kind of broken the rules with the Yankees and saw what transpired as a result. So I just hung out in the dugout there while everything was going on. I believe it was Gaylord Perry at the time. Snuck up behind one of the umpires and grabbed the bat out of his hands and tried to make his way down into the dugout and up into the tunnel to the clubhouse to get rid of the bat. And Yankee Stadium, playing close security, grabbed it from him. It was something like out of a TV show. It was like a chase, like the Keystone Cops chasing the ball plays, and the bat kept changing hands.
And you're 17 years old at the time, and had you ever even heard of pine tar? Did people talk about it? In fact, why is there a rule about pine tar?
That was my second year there with the Yankees, and, of course, I know what pine tar does. But from what I understand, the rule is in place because the pine tar makes the wood on the bat harder and thus makes the ball travel further.
So that moment came and Billy Martin was, you know, he'd been apparently planning this for a while. This everything fit
right
together, and this was the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's a book written by Greg Nettles. It's titled Bulls, and in his book, he writes that the previous week, the Yankees were playing out there in Kansas City, and the Yankees were watching the particular bat that George was using because it was, again, the pine tar was way up the handle. And, you know, they had said that they were waiting for George to hurt the Yankees before they brought attention to the bat. So that series had ended. And, you know, he hadn't done any damage. Probably the only time he didn't do any damage against the Yankees. And he actually broke that bat the Saturday game before the pine tar game. And I actually have that broken bat at my house.
I was thinking you ended up with a great souvenir out of this.
Oh, yeah. I actually picked up that bat. It was broken. And back then, I mean, the players hold on to the bats now like they're gold. But back then, you know, we were permitted to take broken bats home. So that bat that Greg Nettles wrote about in his book, I have that bat. So anyway, the Yankees thought that, okay, the bat is broken, you know, end of story. But then the next bat he had just as much pine tar, and that's when he hit that home.
Well, so after the game, some interesting things happened. We'll leave out the expletive, but tell that part of the story.
Yeah. I think it was before. No, it was pretty much after he was called out. I remember Dick Houser and John Muff and a couple other guys. I don't remember exactly who. They just were screaming at me, you know. And again, being 17 years old, I was just, you know, terrified. Especially Dick Houser. He was one of my favorite Yankee coaches. He coached the Yankees before he became manager of the Royals.
Right.
And I sat down in the dugout, got everything together, and my job would be to then return to the Royals clubhouse and start packing things up. So the clubhouse guy at the time, he came down to the dugout. He said, look, I think it's best if you stay out of the locker room. And these guys are pretty heated up, so which made me feel even worse, you know. So I made my way over to the Yankee locker room, hung out there for a while, and then the clubhouse guy from the visiting clubhouse there at Yankee Stadium came down, got me, said, look, you know, it's fine. You know, come down now. Most of the players have departed. Actually, Brett's being interviewed by reporters. Probably get you in without him even seeing. So I went down to the locker room, and as luck would have it, and he's surrounded by reporters, and it was almost like, you know, God's will, the reporters broke up, and we made eye contact, and he screamed at me. He was like, why the hell, you know, did you get the explicit bat? I didn't know what to say, and he saw how upset I got, and then he started laughing. He said, look, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. He goes, but you owe me, you know. I said, whatever you want. And, you know, that was pretty much it from my end.
And yet the Yankees, who were your employers, how did they feel about all this? Were you a hero? What were you to them?
You know, I never – the only that part I left out when I was in the Yankee locker room, the Yankee – I believe he was a pitching coach at the time, Jeff Torborg. Mm-hmm. He was a real, real good guy. He came over to me, knew me pretty well, and he saw I was upset. And he said, look, Yankees pay you a paycheck. Don't worry about a thing. You know, he said, it's not your fault. What happened, and everything's fine. I never heard from the Yankee organization. It was kind of, you know, above me. You know, nobody ever contacted me.
You ended up still being a Yankee bat boy for some time after that?
I did. I did the previous the season, the next season, 1984, and then that was my time. It ended with the Yankees.
Well, how about George Brett? A little follow up with him in 30 years since then.
You know, it's funny. I believe he was on the disabled list on one of the trips in 84, but I did see him one time, and he was great. He actually signed the bat that I had spoken about a couple minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And last couple weeks ago, when he was in New York, I went to the team hotel. I just, you know, figured I'd like to meet up with him and kind of just talk about it for 2 minutes. I know he's a busy guy, but every time I had gone to the hotel, he'd already left. So never got to see him again.
But he's still remembered very much for that 30-year-ago event that you played such a key role in. It must, you know, sometimes just be a great bar story to share with friends, if nothing else.
Well, you know what's funny? When the article came out a couple weeks ago, I can't tell you how many of my friends were like, you never told us that story. You know, it's something I don't talk about. You know, if it comes up, I'll talk about it, but I don't, you know, put it out there. And I'm telling you, dozens of people were like, you got to be kidding me. It's one of the, you know, most historic events in baseball history. You know, I can't believe you're in the middle of it, you know. So a lot of time has gone by since then.
Well, you're a New York City policeman now. You've probably seen people with that look in their eye that George had that night as he ran across the field plenty of times.
Sure. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yes, I have.
And you still get to Yankee games on occasion?
I do. I go to Yankee games. One of the guys who back then was a bat boy with me, Lou Cucuzza, he actually runs the Yankee clubhouse now, so I still have a little bit of affiliation.
And lots of people now starting to ask you about this story. Is it heating up big time? Because this is a pretty big anniversary.
Well, it's a huge anniversary. It's funny. I just picked up the New York Daily News thinking it would be in the paper today, and there's not a mention. You know, you would think the 30-year anniversary, there'd be some in the sports section. There was nothing at all. But, you know, they made a big deal out of it when the Royals were in a couple of weeks ago. So that was probably, the gist of it.
Well, Merritt Reilly, a great treat to be able to talk with you here about this amazing day in baseball history with someone who was front and center. Good luck there with New York City and the Yankees, and so much great history. Thanks for sharing it with us here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
On Up to Date. Remember, more information about our program and our guests can be found at kcur.org.